For generations, the church has been likened to a safe harbor and a shelter from the storms of life. And while those word pictures hold true, God designed the church for higher purposes. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll challenges our preconceived notions because the church is not a hospice for dying people. It's designed by God to restore our lives and revolutionize our perspective. Even when the process is painful, the church is the place God uses to equip His children with the tools to thrive. Chuck begins by reading from God's Word.
Turn, please, in the New Testament to the letter Paul wrote to the Romans. We'll be looking at the last few verses of chapter 12. Romans 12, beginning our reading at verse 14 to the end of the 12th chapter. Today we look at words that have to do with the church, life in a local church, which is so different from life lived on the street in the world system. That's why the words that we read will sound so different from what you have heard all through your life. This is counsel from God's Word. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Looking Deeper into Our Church.
The last time we were together, we were thinking about our church. Not just our church, but the church in general. And it occurred to me that we didn't finish what we had begun, so we need to spend a little while longer, not only finishing the 12th chapter of Romans, but completing our thoughts on a place that is so different from the world around us. One of my mentors, Ray Steadman, used to say, if the church were doing what it is supposed to be doing, the world would become so curious it couldn't stay away. I remember as a young man sitting in the congregation and listening to Ray as he would deliver one message after another during the summer of 61. I remember thinking about one day I may be in a pulpit and I may be delivering messages just as he is doing, Cynthia was very obviously pregnant with our first child, and we were both anticipating what it would be like to be parents, something we had never, of course, known before, though we had been married some six and a half years. This was a first for us. I was going to go back to school and enter my third year at Dallas Seminary, and considered, if not the, one of the toughest years of the four that it requires to get through. And I remember facing that in my mind and wondering what in the world the future would hold for us. I had no idea. I couldn't have imagined, as I think back to that time. But I remember so many things about Ray Steadman that marked me. And one was his love for the church and his commitment to communicating the truth of God's word so that church people, people like us, could understand what God is saying to us, since what he says to us is nothing like what we have heard all our lives from the world around us. Unless you were very different, you didn't hear it regularly from your mom and dad. You didn't hear it from the neighborhood friends as you grew up. You didn't get it from your teachers at school as you developed friendships outside the home and family. They didn't bring truth from God's word. They brought the wisdom of the world, if you could call it wisdom. So when we think about living in harmony with each other within the church, that it's altogether different than living in the world system. Let me say this before I go any further, that it is something we often do not think about, that when a church is wholesome and healthy, it is made up of people who are very different from the world around us. Very different from how we treat one another, from the way the world around us treats one another. Very different from how we react to those who oppose us. Different from those who live in the world around us, where there is so much hatred and evil, such a short fuse, such a quick reaction when we don't get our way. In the church, it isn't about getting our way. It's about getting the Lord's way. And it seems like it takes a lifetime for us to get that figured out. Perhaps because we live so much of our lives in the world system, because we were reared, no doubt, in the schools and in the neighborhoods and in the environment of the world system, it is easy to bring all of that with us into the church and to think, really, this is a lot about that, except here we pray and sing hymns and listen to sermons. But this place is altogether different, or should be, from the world around us. It's when we realize this that we understand how far we have to go to grow up in Christ. Because you see, the goal is not to get our way, it's to glorify Christ. It's to be, in every sense of the word, followers of his. And when we are, we're not anything like those who are in it for themselves. So if you find yourself still in life pulling for what you want, or fighting for your way, or defending what you've always believed as if that's right, you've missed it entirely. I remember when our family moved from the little town of El Campo down in deep South Texas, not far from the Gulf, up to the city of Houston when World War II broke out, and my father, a little old for the draft, very patriotic, felt he should be a part of the patriotic world of his, and he entered into a machine shop, and they began to build armament for the soldiers and the airmen, sailors and Marines of the fighting force. My mother was preparing us to move to Houston. All we had known was El Campo, little town down south of Houston. And she said, "You need to know, children, that it's a dog-eat-dog world out there." I remember thinking, dogs eat dogs in Houston? Is that where we're going? The answer was yes, I realized, being a little facetious. Tough city. It was at that time the murder capital of the world, or of the United States. Tough place to live. Ours was a home where the name of God was mentioned and the name of Christ was revered, but nowhere else around us when we got to Houston. And perhaps that was your experience as you grew up. And so we find ourselves, as a result of God's grace, when we trust in Jesus, we find ourselves in another family called the church. Now, before I go further, let me break through and see if I can't clarify. Church isn't just a place where you come, sit, listen to sermons, sing a few hymns, and leave. Those are a very few of the activities of a church. A church family is a family that is meant to be different from the families of the world. So different, says Ray Stedman, that if the word got out, the world would be so curious that we get along like we do, and we are as generous as we are, and as forgiving as we are, having as much fun as we do, understanding each other as well as we do, that they can't stay away. You see, the church is very, very different. Unless, of course, you simply get saved and then bring all of your world habits into the church, which happens all the time. Explaining why church congregations have arguments and they fracture into groups and they splinter and they get cliques and they ultimately split. And the world hears about it and yawns and thinks, what else is new? They're just like we are. But to get a congregation that actually gets along, that forgives each other when someone does something wrong, that makes room for others when they are different, well, you don't find that in the world system. You get frozen out when you're different, which is why the emphasis is on being like one another, so you don't have to stand out and look different, whereas the church promotes difference. Now think about it. Many gifts, many temperaments, all different backgrounds, men and women, young people and older people, folks who have not had college education, others who have several degrees, advanced degrees, those who are blue-collar workers, those who are white-collar workers, those who have retired, those who have money, those who don't, all of them mingle together in one gathering, and they actually get along. You know what that is for me? It's called job security. My task as a shepherd and the task of all who pastor and minister in any capacity is to help congregations not argue and splinter and form cliques and split But actually, verse 18, live in peace with one another. Actually, live in peace with one another. Actually, get along. What a novel thought in our day. It won't happen in your neighborhood. Everybody's looking out for their own property. It won't happen in your school. There's nothing but competition all the time. Comparison, one student against another. It usually doesn't even happen in the sandbox. You know, it's my truck. No, it's mine. Give it back to me. Boom! Somebody gets a punch in the face. So you learn at home, punch them back. So, boom! So the sandbox turns into a, you know, wrestling match. And they're fighting. Well, then we grow up and we learn when somebody says something against us and we're in the church, we fight back. No, we don't. No, we don't. Not if we follow the instructions. Not if we want to be like the one who is our model, whose name is Jesus, who never slugged anybody. I checked. I looked all through his life. Not one place does a Pharisee walk up and Jesus goes, boom, just, you know, puts him out. I'm sure I won't say that. He didn't. See, there it is again. See how it works? He wasn't like that. Knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin. That's my model. So, I don't pay back evil for evil because he didn't. I don't seek my own revenge, verse 19, because he didn't. I don't look out for my own way because he didn't. And I'm a pastor. This isn't about where I get my way. I'm to lead this congregation in a model of life that's marked by unselfishness. The role of pastor carries with it authority. I'm not to act like I have authority. I operate under the authority of Christ. He is the one who is first. He is the one we worship, not me. And so here we are in this 21st century doing our best to get along. Can I tell you our story really quick? Cynthia and I have been married about a year. She was young, I was young. We had been all our lives, for the most part, in one denominational church. All our lives. We knew that church's doctrine, but no one else's. It never dawned on me that if you weren't in that denomination, you were really pleasing God. Because we were in that all our lives. And we were just as legalistic as you can imagine. And we were just as biblically ignorant as you can imagine. And we are now beginning to be in our young 20s. And we said to each other, you know, if this keeps on, we're gonna grow up ignorant. Because we don't know how to handle stress. We don't know how to deal with suffering. We don't know what happens when someone dies. Oh, they go to heaven, but we don't know the process. We don't know how to talk to someone who's lost a baby. We're not qualified to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the life and how he's able to fill us and how he's able to change our whole motivation. We don't know any of that, so we need to be taught. But every Sunday, all we got was the gospel. This is the truth. Jesus died for our sins, and we were grateful for that. And he paid the penalty for our sins, and we believed that. And as a result, we were saved. And the next Sunday, we heard that Jesus died for our sins and he paid the penalty for our sins and how grateful we were that we were saved. And the following Sunday, we learned that Jesus died for our sins and paid the penalty for our sins. And as a result, we were grateful because we were saved. And that's all we knew. That's all. I could have no more told you about the plan God has for the future if my life depended on it. All I knew was the gospel. The gospel. everything good about the gospel, but that's all I knew. That's all I knew. That's all she knew. So we said to each other, we've got to make a change. Or we're going to, when God gives us kids, we're going to raise kids as ignorant as we are. And we found ourselves often just running in tight little groups of that same denomination. That was our circle of friends. Very tight little group. And looking down on those who weren't in that tight little group. Did a lot of judging in that setting. So we said, enough of that nonsense. We're going to get out. So we made it clear that we were going to leave, and our longtime friends couldn't believe it. Oh, you should have heard what they told us. Oh, my. How could the Lord be in this? He gets blamed for stuff he has nothing to do with. How could you think that this isn't the truth? We happened to believe that, and we started going to a church. We were actually taught the Bible. Actually taught Old Testament, New Testament, doctrines that we had never heard in our lives, information that we needed as adults and should have learned as we were growing. We didn't learn. You know what else? Bible's coming apart. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. About to lose the land of Israel there out in the back. You know what was great? They took us in. Now, don't forget this. We weren't one of them. We were younger. But I remember one older gentleman saying to me, you know, Chuck, I'd love to help you get started in a scripture memory program. I said, I'd love that. I'd never been told that in the tight little group I was in. I'd only been told the gospel. And now I'm being told, you can memorize the scriptures. You could see how they will apply in this area of your life or that area. And you can learn about God's will. And you can learn how to find God's will for your life. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will learn what that means. And you will learn what it means to grieve the Spirit and how to handle sin when it comes into your life. And how to be a better husband and your wife a better wife. Oh, that's vital. And I was mentored. It began there. And I took to that like a puppy to warm milk. I found myself very encouraged to think an older man would take an interest in this 20-something-year-old young man. I shortly thereafter went into the military, and by the grace of God was in touch with an individual who was not a part of a denomination. He was a part of the Navigators, which is a Christian organization that represents any number of denominations. But the point was, it was the Word of God that was important, and I grew there. So that when I got out of the military, I was ready for more. And I realized that God had called me into ministry. Had we not left the church when we did, had we not seen the truth as we did, I would not have entered ministry as I did. It took the change to bring all of that to pass because it opened doors in my life that had never been opened before. We came to realize how legalistic we had become. And you're blind to that when you're a legalist. You don't realize how much of that you have imbibed until you no longer are a part of it. Then you realize. And by the grace of God, I've had several mentors along the way, all of whom put their arms around me and helped me learn how to walk, how to think, how to conduct myself, how to restrain my anger, how to keep from answering every ugly note written to me. That's vital when you're a pastor. You get ugly things written, and your tendency is to write back and quote verses and put them in their place. And I learned, no, I don't do that. Because when the Spirit of God controls you, God does that.
At Insight for Living Ministries, We hear from people every day who are trying to find a church like the one Chuck Swindoll pastors. A good starting point is to listen to this special two-part mini-series on the church. It's based on Romans 12 and called Loving One Another. To purchase the two CDs or find the downloadable audio files right now, go to insightworld.org/store. Just before we sign off for today, let me encourage you to get in touch with us right away to request your copy of the Gospel Concert while there's still time. At Insight for Living, we're always looking for meaningful ways to reinforce our gratitude for those who financially support this daily Bible teaching program. Bringing Chuck's teaching to your station requires enormous financial outlays, but the burden of this expense is lightened because of our generous listening family. As an expression of our thanks for your support, today we're pleased to send this sacred music concert your way. It was performed during the Easter season by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra, and it's called The Gospel. Through majestic music and several brief devotional thoughts from Chuck, you'll enjoy celebrating the joy of Easter all year long. Again, it's called The Gospel. The music you're hearing in the background right now comes from one of the 17 tracks, including other favorites such as Amazing Grace and Worthy is the Lamb. We're sending both the CD and DVD formats, so you can either listen in your car or watch the concert on video at home. And it's yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just mention the concert called The Gospel when you call this number. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. Join us Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his message called Looking Deeper into Our Church, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Looking Deeper into Our Church, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.